How do we know where to go to be blessed? How do we know what dangers to avoid, what devastation to move away from? How do we discern between good and evil? How do you shine light on your path in a dark world? The answer is His Word.
Hi, friends, and welcome once again to Live in the Light. We're always glad to have you join us, and in fact, we'd love to hear from you if God has been transforming your life through the teaching of His Word. Hey, in case you missed yesterday's program, we began a brand new series specifically looking at three foundational psalms. Foundational in the sense that they bring clarity to these sometimes busy, sometimes confusing days we live in. They're called Start Here Psalms, and today we're in Psalm 1. So let's join up with Pastor Robbie now with today's message entitled, Start Here to be Blessed.
And when I know I'm loved by the God of the universe, then that becomes the very thing I need, because the moment Jesus Christ returns, all of a sudden who's popular doesn't matter, does it? The moment Jesus Christ returned, all of a sudden, if I was accepted in the way I wanted to be, does that matter? No, it's like chaff in the wind. And all of a sudden, all that matters is who I am before the Lord Jesus Christ and my identity in Him and the love that I've given to Him with this life that I've been entrusted with. That is a perspective of faith, eternity, and courage. And this is what I implore my own children, and I implore to our students and to all of us here today. Can you be strong in the Lord by His grace to blaze a trail upstream against the flow, against the grain, and believe that if God is for me, then who ultimately can stand against me? This is the path of the blessed. It's tough, isn't it? But this is what we're called to do. It's also very exciting. What are we talking about right here? We're talking about fidelity. And what is fidelity to the Lord? Devotion. What's the greatest commandment? Love God, all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. It's the greatest commandment for a reason. It's what God blesses most. The greatest thing God blesses is an all-out love for Him. Whether or not they're accepted by others, He blesses a love for Him. So you're like, this path to blessing, well, where do I start then? You start in verse 2. Look at verse 2. Notice, but, okay, so contrasting to all the evil in verse 1, but now the blessed man or woman, his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on His law he meditates day and night. So notice this, okay? Notice this. This is such music to my ears. More importantly, music to the ears of the Holy Spirit, okay? The delight is in the law of the Lord. Remember, the first indication of what happens when someone is blessed is they avoid evil, but now the first positive is a delight in the Word of God, the law of the Lord, the instruction of God. Think about it. How do we know where to go to be blessed? How do we know what dangers to avoid, what devastation to move away from? How do we discern between good and evil? How do you shine light on your path in a dark world? The answer is His Word. His Word is the path to being loved by God. So I love this. Think about what we're doing right now, okay? God's Word is opened, and right now, His light is shining upon our minds. Right now, our minds are being renewed. Right now, already, we're confronted with, what path am I on? Am I in the path of blessing, or am I in the path of darkness? Right now, light is shining and showing us by the Holy Spirit. He's like, don't go that way, go this way, right? This is the power of the light of God's Word. But when God's Word is open, well, what happens when we close the book? This happens. Oh. And then we open God's Word. What happens? Hey, that was neat, right? But you're going through life, and then all of a sudden, you close God's book in your life. Oh, but then you open God's Word again. All of a sudden, you can see where you're going. That's fun, wasn't it? I love it, though, because it's true. What does the Bible say? Your Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Don't you see, loved ones? Why is Pastor Robbie so excited about the word? Why is he trying to get us in the world? Because it's your lifeline and it's your flashlight. If you don't want to walk in darkness, you have to have the book open. Why? Why? Not so we worship the book. It's how we worship the Savior revealed in the book. It's how we know the Lord. You know, I love biographies so much, especially Christian biographies, obviously, because they reinforce to me the principles we're learning here. George Mueller was one, I suggest to you, one of the most fruitful men in the past several hundred years. He was a man so profoundly used in orphanages with faith, thousands of kids, and with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ going forward. Do you know what Mueller found out early in his life? He found out too, he neglected God's word in the beginning of his life. Then all of a sudden, he came to grips with the understanding of how powerful and beautiful this book is. In fact, let me just, I want to make sure I get it right because I have a little quote here I want to read you about Mueller. It says this, after he found a relish for the scriptures, he couldn't understand how he ever treated God's book with such neglect. See, some of us are here right now, and honestly, the book's not being open. Don't you see that is going to kill you, right? He says this, it seemed obvious that God having condescended to become an author, that's such a good point too, eh? Hey, did you know this? God wrote a book. I think you should read it. Fair? God wrote one book. That's pretty cool. We should read it. And he says, inspiring holy men to write the scriptures, that in these scriptures, God would impart the most vital truths of life. That's fair. Oh, but I want to watch TV 8 hours a day, right? What does that make us? Dumb. Right? Fair? Fair? I think it's very fair. God wrote a book. In it are the most vital truths of life. In it is where we get to know him and love him. I think it's a good idea to read it. During the last 20 years of Mueller's life, he read the Bible through 4 or 5 times a year, annually growing with a sense of increase in the knowledge of God. Okay, so watch this. In Mueller's life, one of the most fruitful men in the last several hundred years, undeniably proving the principles right here. He's like this. He's like, you want to love God? I want to love God. How do you love God? You got to know God. Can't love God if you don't know God. How do you know God? Word of God. Single greatest way to know God is his word. See, that's why we love the book, because the book lets us know God, which lets us love God. This was Mueller's life. So he was almost ashamed at how he remained in spiritual infancy for so long as he neglected the greatest tangible treasure that God has given us with his word. And then he was just so inspired and infused with love for God in the scriptures that it even said this, in his 92nd year, for every page of any other reading, he was sure to read 10 pages of the Bible. Wow. And then he says this, or said about him, he says, blessed are they who have thus learned to use the key, the Bible, which gives free access, not only to the king's treasuries, but to the king himself. Isn't that so true, eh? This is the key that gives us free access, not just to the treasure of the king, but to the king himself. Put that key in the slot, turn and open and watch the path of blessing fill your life. The path of blessing, integrity, fidelity, purity. Point number two, the fruit now of the blessed, the fruit of the blessed is this, vitality, consistency, prosperity, okay? So I'm walking on the path of blessing, delighting in the law of the Lord. Now, of course, you begin to experience the fruit of this blessing. Look at verse 3. He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season. I love this verse so much. Do you love this verse? I hope it's underlined, circled, highlighted, something. Its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. That's amazing. In all that he does. Notice, like a tree. Love the metaphor, love the imagery, love the simile. Like a tree planted by streams of water. What is that? Vitality. Vitality. What's the most important part of the tree? Roots. Why? The roots feed the tree. The roots go down, drop the nourishment. And as the tree feeds on the source of water and life, it goes through, it strengthens the tree and bears the fruit. No feeding, no fruitfulness. What is this a picture of? John 15, abiding in Christ. Apart from me, you can do nothing. See what happens here? You delight in the law of the Lord. You meditate on it because there you find the nourishment of abiding in word and prayer. And all of a sudden you are drinking the living water that produces fruit through your life. Again, look at verse 3, that yields its fruit in season, okay? Now, very important spiritual principle right here for the mature only, or those who want to be mature. Here it is, ready? We often want the fruit of God. God, give me fruit. I want your fruit. I want blessing in my life, God, right now. Come on. Let me get the genie ball. I'm going to rub it. Come on, right now. Vending machine, God. I got a couple of tokens I put in, a couple of dollar bills, whatever it is. I want some fruit. Give me some fruit. Come on, God. Give me. Wait. You're missing the point. You're missing the point. Notice in the theme and the truth of Psalm 1, his delight is in the law of the Lord. He meditates. He is like a tree at that point, and then the fruit comes. See what happens here? We want the fruit. We often don't want the delight. See, we don't delight in the Lord, really. We just want God to give us what we want. What is that? That's not biblical Christianity. That's selfish, individualistic, consumer behavior. That's how we treat church often too as well, right? Just give me what I want. Let me give my stuff, my fruit, and my time. Wait. Isn't church designed for the worship of God? Yes. So we want the fruit, we often don't want the delight. Here's the other principle that's so powerful, right? You gotta understand this. Oh Lord, help us believe this right now. The greatest fruit we could ever experience in the Lord is the delight of him. Delighting in the Lord gives to us and provides for us the greatest joy you will ever know. In your presence is the fullness of joy. This past summer with an extended break, I had time, so many mornings had time to watch the sunrise. I'm telling you, man, morning after morning, I sat there and I was in the Psalms most of the summer, which is where this series came from. And I sat there before the Lord in quiet for minutes and then 30 minutes and then hours. And I'm telling you, when you start to hear the voice of God, when you start to see the beauty of God, when you're watching the sunrise, when you are listening and communicating with the holy God of the universe, when you are in that place and you are sensing his majestic glory and you are decreasing in the moment and the Lord is increasing, you are all of a sudden filled with a sense of fulfillment and joy and happiness and peace and love. Again, that you know. And I almost wanted to yell this out for anyone who could hear in this moment to say, the world can't touch this. The world has no idea what it's like to be here right now, encountering intimacy and experiencing the living God of the universe who loves me. Boom! And this is what happens when you are with the Lord, and in that moment, you want nothing else. You don't want the next toy. You don't want the next paycheck. You don't need any other human being because you have the Lord. It is the most glorious place I can ever imagine to be. And this is why I get so excited. Because when you've tasted and seen the Lord is good, what are you going to turn to? The dirt of the world? How can you? When you know he's the only one who satisfies. Everything else is meh. Example, last weekend was the kickoff weekend for college football. I'm a football fan, right? I was pretty excited. The boys and I watch it. We're excited. Watching the football, it comes on. You're kind of fired up about it. And all of a sudden it goes along and, you know, an hour or two pass. And all of a sudden you're just like, this is kind of boring. Or you're disappointed because your expectations are not fulfilled. And you're sitting there and you're realizing this just in the, and it will not satisfy. Leaf fans, sorry to break it to you, but you're the same. All right. At the end of the day, it won't work. It always lets us down. Jesus Christ will never ever let us down. It's the power of saying these things aren't bad. Just put them where they belong, right? Temporary, okay, you know, just don't put too much stock in it. Don't start worshiping it. That's ridiculous, right? And then put it aside and then let your true affection be found in the Lord Jesus Christ. This is what begins to be so exciting. It yields its fruit in season. And notice what comes next. Its leaf does not wither. This is consistency. I'm planted by streams of water. My leaves don't wither. Our economy rises and falls. Our health, it strengthens and weakens. Our weather, as we know, is so uncertain. And you know what? All these things, economy, health, future, unpredictable events, they drive our fear up and down, right? There's so much anxiety that comes with that. We rise and fall, we're frustration, we're unstable in our emotions, but there are those who do find consistency. Notice, its leaf does not wither. It says, in all that he does, he prospers. Wow, like what a promise that is. Isn't that so great? You know, some of us right here, we're like, in all that he does, he prospers. We're like, prosperity, sign me up for that. Anyway, wait, time out. Often your definition or my definition of prosperity may not be the Bible's definition of prosperity too, right? Think about this, in all that he does, he prospers. Let's actually deal with the area that maybe we're not thinking of right now. How about when life gets the worst, most difficult, most hard, most filled with trial, most extreme? Even in that moment, all that he or she does, he or she prospers. Think of Stephen in the book of Acts. Incredible man of faith, filled with the Holy Spirit, used of the Lord. He is being stoned to death for his faith in Jesus Christ. Rocks are crushing his skull, literally pummeling his body, breaking his bones on his way to death. And I argue that in this moment of being murdered for his faith in Christ, as he looks up into the heavens and he sees Jesus sitting at the right hand of God and his face is shining like an angel, in the moment of his death, being murdered by those who hate him because he loves Jesus Christ, the fruit of his life has never been more evident or more beautiful than in the moment when he's about to die. I suggest to you right there, that is Psalm 1 verse 3, in all that he does, even being stoned to death, he prospers. Unbelievably fantastic. That's what the Holy Spirit does. One of our staff members, Ryan Robertson, director of finance, just put a picture on the screen for you here. This past summer, he was diagnosed with lymphoma, Hodgkin's, cancer, very serious. Some of you know, some of you don't know. Pray for him. Ryan's been such a blessing to this church, his wife, Erin, his kids. Pray for them. It's a serious situation. Caring for him and loving him. I've been amazed. I've admired Ryan for many years. He's a good friend. I just love him. This is the hardest trial of his life right now. He's undergoing chemotherapy right now. Just had another dose of this past week. He was at church last night, bless his heart. He does not look like the picture right there. He finds himself in the greatest difficulty. I'm talking to him. I'm watching him as he fights for faith in the Lord, as he seeks to depend on him, as he places his hand and his life in the hands of the Lord God Almighty. I'm telling you, you talk about prosperity and all the things we think of more money and better health and blah, blah, blah. Get it all out of the way. Hey, here's prosperity. Even in the midst of cancer, even with a diagnosis of lymphoma, I'm watching this man by the grace of God in all that he does, including cancer, he prospers. He's prospering by the grace of God. That's what the world can't figure out. That's what the world has no category for. This is what the Lord does. This is the fruit of those who are truly blessed. In all that he does, he prospers. So hear me, this doesn't mean that your life is free of trouble because you're fruit is seen and your leaf does not wither and all that you do is prosper. It doesn't mean there won't be difficulty or trial. No. We interpret scripture with scripture. We know scripture tells us that life will be hard. It's in the midst of the difficulty. This is where we prove who we really are. And this is when God proves who he really is. The path of the blessed, the fruit of the blessed. And then number three, we see this, the wicked will not be blessed. The wicked will not be blessed because they are frail, fragile, and their path is futile. Again, look at verse 4. Verse 4 says this, the wicked are not so, but they are like chaff that the wind drives away. The simile here is chaff. You know what chaff is? Chaff is the part of wheat or grain that is useless, refuse. It just is worthless, rootless. It's just blown away by the wind. Here's a picture of what they do with the chaff, okay? So here's a great illustration. The grain or the wheat that is here and gathered, they throw it up into the wind, and the grain's heavier, so it falls down to the ground. But the chaff is lighter and useless. It is blown away, driven away by the wind. It becomes into nothing. Chaff. Nothing. So the Bible's telling us right here, this is the plight of the wicked. They are like chaff. They are nothing. All the pursuits of the wicked. Think about it in our day. What our world says, here's where life is lived. This is the meaning. This is what we live for. The godlessness, the wickedness, the sexual immorality, the lust of the flesh, the accumulation of possessions, the greed, all the money, the unbelief, the attacks on Christ, the atheistic higher education, all the self-help secular books, the obsession with physical appearance, all the materialism, the worshiping of celebrities, the adultery, the fornication, the pornography, the debauchery, all the pompous pride, all the posturing of power of leaders and government leaders and dictators across this world thinking they're so special and so powerful. The Bible says all of this is wickedness and it's all chaff blowing into the wind soon to become absolutely nothing. For that is what it is. The Bible is presenting to us today a life of blessing, a life that will be perishing as chaff in the wind. Hey, did you hear that? Like, hear what? Did you hear that? Listen. Oh, the phone's ringing. Guess who it is? It's wisdom, and it's for you, all right? And for me. See what's happening right now? Why is wisdom calling? Because wisdom says, oh, this is a very important moment. This is a very important moment. Wisdom says, do you see what God is saying? Do you see what the Holy Spirit is saying? There's two choices in life. You can be blessed or cursed. You can live or die. You can see a path of blessing or a path of futility. You can have purity or defilement. You can see fruitfulness or no fruit at all. Which one do you want? It's amazing to me. Wisdom's like, time out, here we go. Let's choose life or death. Which one should I choose? It's tough. Shouldn't be tough. It proves how dumb we really are most of the time, doesn't it? Hey, if you're like me, how often do you choose the path that is just simply so dumb? The path of futility. Hey, many of us here right now, we're really dumb. No offense, okay? Like, I'm with you, okay? But listen, we are walking in the counsel of the wicked. We are standing in the way of sinners. We are sitting in the seat of scoffers. We're dumb. Because that will not work out. You're like, yeah, but it feels good for now. Won't feel good for very long. Yeah, but everyone's doing it. Dumb. We already went through that, okay? Following Christ is not what everyone else is doing. Following Christ is believing he's the best. He is awesome. He is light. He is the one that I live for. Notice the first word in Psalm 1. See the first word? Blessed. See the last word? What is it? Perish. Two choices, two directions, two options. So wisdom says, why would you ever choose to perish? That's a hard heart. Why would you ever choose futility? That's a sad heart. Choose life. Choose blessing. Choose love. Notice verse 5. The wicked will not stand in judgment. They will not last. They will be judged. They will not dwell in the congregation of the righteous. And then verse 6, because the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked, he doesn't. I love that. The Lord knows the way. The Lord knows the way of the righteous. How does the Lord know the way of the righteous? Because the Son of God is the way, the truth, and the life. So if you walk in the way of his Son, you're walking in the way the Lord knows. He's like, I know that way. I know that child. Oh yeah, that daughter, she's mine. That son right there, belongs to me, God. So I know, he knows your way. It's a hard way. It's a narrow way. It's the blessed way. It's the life way. And this is what God's saying to us today. He says, start here. Two people I speak to today, two people the Lord speaks to today. First person, God says, start here for salvation. Some of you are not in relationship with Jesus Christ. You've never given your life to Christ. You have not turned from sin. You have not placed your faith in Jesus Christ. He died on the cross, shed his blood for your sins. Today, you start here for salvation. God's like, you want blessing? I'll show you blessing. I'll show you eternal life. How's that for blessing? I'll show you forgiveness of any and all sin forever. I'll declare you innocent in my sight because you have received my son. How's that for blessing? Second person you talk to is the believer here today. And God's like, start here for sanctification. No more distractions. Sin's entangled you for too long. No more playing church. No more fiddling around with all these things that are taking away from a true love for Christ. He's like, start here today for sanctification. And the last thing I want to say to you is, I want to give you some homework, okay? You're like, homework? Well, the kids are taking homework home this week, so why not us, right? Why not us, okay? But it's the best homework ever. Ready? Here's your homework, okay? I thought about doing it every day, but I'm going to be a little bit easier. Shouldn't be, but I'm going to be a little easier. 3 days this week. 3 days. This should be easy. 20 minutes. 3 days. Take 20 minutes each of those days and meditate on Psalm 1. Just Psalm 1. I've given you a massive head start today. Get a piece of paper. Get your journal open. Get a pen. Meditate for 20 minutes. Say, Lord, would you open my eyes to behold the wondrous things of your law? Here's what I know. I know the stats. There's a whole chunk of us in here. We're not in God's word daily. We are forfeiting blessing. This isn't about God liking you more. It's about delighting in the law of God, to delight in God, to meditate in his word, to be a tree planted by water, that your leaf will not wither, that in all you do, you will prosper. It's fruit. It's life. It's glory to God. So, do you believe what God is saying today in Psalm 1? Do you believe it? Do you believe it? If you believe it, listen, prove it. Not just a hearer of the word, a doer. I'm saying, if you believe that all blessing starts from delighting in the law of the Lord, I suggest you probably want to pick up the book and begin to delight in it, because that's when blessing flows. The person here today that doesn't believe, they're the hearer, they're like, oh, okay, that's fine. And they close the book and they leave it on the shelf and they walk out of the church, and then until they come back next week, and like, oh yeah, what's this again? And then they, oh, that's not going to work. Hear me. We're not earning points with God. This is not so God will like us more. It's because he wants to love us so much and he wants us to know his love. That's why. You want to love God? Got to know God. I know God, word of God, tree planted by water, bear the fruit through our lives and watch the transformation begin. Loved ones, start here to be blessed. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this wonderful, I love this church. I love your people. I love you. And I pray we would love you more and more. I'm so thankful for these moments. I just believe there's clarity. And now I pray, Lord, in the clarity, we would have conviction. And in the conviction, Lord, we would just have peace. Say, it's right. It's right. I have one life. Help me make it count, Lord, by your grace. Maybe you're here right now and your prayer is, God, would you give me a hunger for you? A hunger for your word, where you will feed yourself on that which you hunger for. The reason you will leave this place and have food is because you hunger for food. The reason you leave this place and love the Lord is because you hunger for the Lord. So I pray now, even as we respond in the song, think of living water. We think of the fountain that is only found in Jesus Christ. The world is so parched, always comes up empty. But you, Lord, you never come up empty. So help us to rejoice in you now and take this song and use it as an application to the beautiful first psalm. Oh, may it be so. Together, Father, we love you. In the name of your son, Jesus, amen.
Thank you for listening again today from all of us here at Live in the Light. Each day, we strive to share faithful and passionate preaching of God's word to strengthen his people and his church. If you want to hear more from Pastor Robbie, you can find past series and messages at our website, liveinthelight.ca, or on our podcasts available on Apple, Spotify, or any other streaming platform. Hope you'll join us again next time on Live in the Light.